We read in Psalm 46 in the middle of this battle, it says that God is the one who breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariot with fire, and then we're invited, be still and know that he is God. That's where the peace of God is discovered. When we're still, we can hear his voice. We can be attentive to his Spirit's work in our lives. We can't get there without him. You're not going to do it on your own strength.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Senior Pastor Joe Suazo.
Let's ask ourselves a question. If God is our peace, which Scripture teaches, if he's made that available to us, then what is the problem in the equation when I am not experiencing peace in this life? Well, the answer is us. The answer is we are not availing ourselves to what God has for us. And so during these next few weeks together, I want to try to outline what I discovered in Sabbath about God's peace. I'm not saying I've arrived there perfectly, but I long for it, I lean towards it, and I have noticed that as I spend time with God seeking his peace, he's so faithful to give it to us. That is the good news, really, of the gospel. God is our peace. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. It's a well-known passage to many of us. And for those of you who are going to turn to the Pew Bibles, and we have two versions, so forgive me if your version is not page 982, but one of the Pew Bibles is 982. I think most of them. They all should be the same, my wife told me. They should all be the same. Good. 982. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 we're going to read. So if you stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand or near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's the Apostle Paul speaking now, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Father, as we meditate on some of these verses this morning, speak to our hearts as you can through your Spirit, that we may understand the great benefit discovered in Christ, which is a peace that passes all understanding. Your peace, Lord, in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. So in our text this morning, I want us to discover four things that should jump out at us as we look at these verses. The first is how God's peace is described. It's described as a peace that passes all understanding. Secondly, I want us to see how it's promised. It is a peace from God that passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ. In Christ. It is promised through a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Third, I want us to acknowledge there are enemies to this peace. It's not going to be easy. It's not something that just happens in our lives. It's to be pursued. It's to be looked for, sought after. Well, our text does not directly tell us every enemy, but there are two. One is interrelational conflict. That's an obvious one. When we're in conflict in our marriages, our families, neighbors, workplaces, church, or wherever it may be, the peace of God is taken from us. Another place that we find it here is just our own anxieties. There's a command here given, be anxious for nothing. Well, how do I do that? There's so much to be fearful about. There's so much to be anxious about in this world. How do I not be anxious for anything? Well, we're going to discover what the Word of God teaches on that point. And then finally, the Word of God lays out conditions for this peace. In other words, if we're going to have the peace of God, there are conditions that God gives us. In fact, in the text that we just read, there are five key commands, like rejoicing in the Lord, praying with thanksgiving and prayer. There's being humble in our relationship with other people, thinking on that which is good, true. All those things are commands of Scripture that we have to learn to practice in our lives if we're going to experience the peace of God. So let's look at these four areas together. Let's see how the peace of God is described here in this passage. In verse 7, it tells us that this is a peace of God that surpasses understanding. One pastor described it this way: it's a supernatural calm state of mind and heart that comes from God alone. It's a deep quietness that does not make sense using human logic. And because it stays strong, even during hard times, it has learned to be at peace in difficulties, in worry, and in pain. I like that definition. It's a peace that passes understanding. Now, any of us who have learned to get close to God have discovered this kind of peace, at least in part. I have. When I started my sabbatical, I was realizing just how anxious I was. And you're like, I preach on it every week. You guys gift me with the wonderful ability to spend as much time with God. I've never met anyone in the church that said, Pastor Joe, stop spending time with God. You guys are calling me to that. And it's so easy, though, isn't it, to let the worries and the difficulties and the pains of life to lead us from God. It's our nature. And so we have to fight for it. It's a wrestling match for this peace. Psalm 46 talks about discovering this peace. Now, it's interesting. In Psalm 46, it's discovered not in a nice, quiet forest with a nice running stream. You know, you ever been on a picnic at a place like that? It's kind of easy to experience peace there, right? Or let's say you're cuddled on your couch with a nice comfy blanket, with a nice cup of tea or coffee, with your Bible open. Oh, I feel peaceful. Interestingly, Psalm 46 outlines this kind of peace in the middle of war, in battle. And then after we read in Psalm 46, in the middle of this battle, it says that God is the one who breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariot with fire, and then we're invited, be still and know that he is God. That's where the peace of God is discovered. When we're still, we can hear his voice. We can be attentive to his Spirit's work in our lives. We can't get there without him. You're not going to do it on your own strength. Now, Gideon was a judge in Israel. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, the Midianites, who were enemies of Israel, were so oppressive on God's people that they had burned up their crops, and they were so oppressive to the people that they began to hide in the clefts of rocks and just to get away from their enemy. And in the midst of all this heartache and pain, they cry out to God for salvation. Prior to that, they were turning to idols and all kinds of false things for their peace. But they finally came to their senses and began to cry out to God. So God raised up Gideon. And Gideon says to God, why are you calling me? I'm part of the least clan of all of Israel. What can I do against this great enemy called the Midianites? And God just simply said, I will be with you. And then Gideon says, well, how do I know that you're going to be with me? And so Gideon builds an altar. And in that altar, he puts a sacrifice. And he just wants to know that God is going to protect him. And God tells him, do not be afraid for your life. I will be with you. And then God consumes the sacrifice supernaturally, a fire. He just comes and takes that sacrifice. And you know what Gideon did? He wrote on that altar, God is peace. God is peace. God is our peace. We can't conjure it. We can't. Vacation's not going to do it. I just talked to my brother here. You guys going to Disneyland? God bless you. Probably there's not going to be any peace there. Come on. I took my kids there once. I wanted to get away from there when I finished my vacation. Legs were hurting and got motion sickness on one of those rides. There's like a stupid ride at Disneyland. This thing goes around in circles, right? You're in a cup. Some of us have been on it. It goes around in circles. It goes up and down, right? And then to just punish the parents, the kids get to turn it around this way. So you're going around this way, and we're going up and down. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I couldn't handle it. Now, you're not getting any peace in Disneyland. But you'll have a good time with your family. It's hard to find peace in this world. We get maybe little pieces of it, nice dinner, vacation. There's nothing wrong with those things. But the peace that passes all understanding is to be found in the Lord. God is our peace. In Philippians 4:9, in our text, we learn that this peace of God is also to be felt and experienced. The Apostle Paul challenges the church that they were to follow his example, what they had learned, received, heard, seen in him. The peace of God would go with them. Here we see two things. First, Peace can be experienced. We can experience it. It's a real, tangible, emotional state that God gives to his people. Secondly, it's not something that we're going to sit on a mountaintop chanting Om and getting it. By the way, I've tried that. When my book is released, you'll find out about that. I spent 3 months in a Buddhist monastery. And you know, you actually kind of taste a little bit of peace because you have no responsibilities. You're in a quiet place. But as soon as you go back into the world, guess what? Peace is gone. And so the peace to be experienced is to be learned. Who are we going to learn it from? We come here. You see, it's the community of God's people with great pastors like Pastor Mike, John, others. We're not perfect men, but we try to emulate what God has done in our lives. And hopefully you see peace. If we're going to learn and grow in the things of God, it's important if we're going to mature to be guided along the way. And by the way, in my personal life, I've always had someone involved for most of it, 40 plus years walking with the Lord, some amazing people along the way of my life who've helped me to know God better. So peace is described as passing understanding. It's described in Christ. Now, what is this promise of peace in Scripture? Pastor Mike alluded to it a little bit before, but this peace of God that passes all understanding, that's going to guard your heart, it's going to guard your mind, is discovered in Christ. It's discovered as we come to know Jesus. Many of us have done that. And if you're here this morning and your life is characterized more by mayhem and chaos and anxiety and fear, and you're not experiencing that peace, I do have to say it is important for you to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith, to test yourself, that you may realize that Christ Jesus is in you. Because if we're in Christ, we're going to experience that peace. When we turn from sin and trust Christ, his finished work on the cross, his shed blood, it opens the door not only that we may be forgiven, but that we would have access in our relationship with God and peace with God. Now listen to how Romans 5 tells us, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access into this grace in which we now stand. So what? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, as we come into relation with Jesus Christ, the potential and the possibility is there for joy and peace in our lives. If we make room for him, that's the condition. It's available to us, but it's not always exercised. It's available, but not always exercised. How do I know that? Because I am guilty of being anxious, even though God has invited me to a different path. I think we all can testify to that. You know, the stronghold of worry, the strongholds of anxiety, fear, sinful habits, anger, have to be broken through the power of God as we come into relationship with him. You know, wouldn't it be great, I guess, from our point of view, if we accepted Christ as our Savior and lickety-split, we're all mature in Christ. Doesn't happen that way. The Bible describes us like babes when we first come to Christ, and then God brings us along the way. And his destination for us is to experience his love, his peace, is joy in our lives. You know, imagine for a moment, my wife and I are Red Sox fans. Don't boo us. There's a few of us out there. But my wife's from Boston. She converted me in the year 2003, which was very good because the Red Sox had won more World Series since 2003 than any other team. So I came in at the right time as a Boston Red Sox fan. Now, we've gone to a few games. We just went to one. And the total cost for both of our tickets was $250. That's a lot of money, right? Now, can you imagine if we went to the Red Sox game, we got nice seats, we sit down, and the game starts, and I leave, and I spend the entire game by the concession stands, by the men's bathroom. First of all, they'd think I was a creeper, but that's another story. That would be insane, right? You bought these tickets, you're at the game, enjoy it. Now, I use that illustration because that's the way our lives are. We have access to the living God through the person of Jesus Christ. And when I'm worried and anxious and I'm spending all my time fretting about things I pretty much don't have control over, it's like I have these great tickets to spend time with God, but I'm in the concession stands near the stinky toilets. When we read the Old Testament, we find that most of the time Israel as a nation walked in disobedience to God. Most of the time. There are five major prophets and 12 minor prophets raised up to warn Israel and invite Israel to find their shalom, peace in God. And we read the Old Testament, we see the nation fail again and again and again. Now, here's what I've become convinced of when I read the Old Testament. Israel is a type of believer. We're just like Israel. We're just like Israel. God gives us these promises of his peace and his love and his faithfulness and all these things that we can enjoy in him. And yet, we're near the concession stands by the bathrooms, not enjoying who he is. Isaiah, one of those prophets, was challenging Israel. A time when God says, listen, turn to me. Because God was allowing Assyria, a powerful kingdom to the north, to enter and destroy the land and carry the northern tribes away through slavery. Listen to what God said in the beginning of this book of Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together. That's what God says. Come, let us have a conversation about this. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall become like snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you have your Bibles and you're looking at this, you got to circle if. This is the condition. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat of the goodness of the land. I mean, what an amazing promise from God. He wants our fellowship. He wants to give us peace. He wants to express his love towards us. But we're the ones who have to turn from all the craziness of this world, the worries and the things that just choke out what God has promised. And so we're invited by God himself. Now, the context of our passage this morning is conflict. Earlier on in Philippians 4:2, Paul encourages these two women in the church to resolve a long-standing conflict. Paul would have learned from a servant, Epaphroditus, who was sent by the Philippian church to encourage him, that there is these two women in conflict and disrupting the peace in the church. And so Paul writes in Philippians 4:2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to what? Agree in the Lord. We have no idea what this conflict is about. But one thing we do know, because there was conflict, it was robbing the peace in that body of believers. Conflict does that. Always. It disrupts our peace. Conflict in families. Conflict in the business world. Conflict with neighbors. Conflict between nations. Conflict with friends. And yes, even churches at times. It robs us of God's peace and introduces to our minds anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. To agree with one another in the Lord, in our relationships, whatever they may be, is to take on God's forgiveness in our own lives, but then to extend it to others. To renounce bitterness that we may have, and to embrace the love of God. Do you know that God is calling each of us to be his loving agents into this world? Jesus put it this way. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've come to love you, you ought to love one another. Then he says this, by this the world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. So this purpose that God has for us here is disrupted when we live in conflict with those around us. To agree with one another in the Lord entails forgiveness as the Lord has forgiven us. It includes grace, which God has extended to us. It includes forbearance by accepting the other person. They may be different than me. I may struggle to like them. But their personality may grate me, but we're called to bear up with one another, to love one another. For God is kind and patient with us. Therefore, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Do you think there's going to be fights in heaven? No. And so peace is described as passing all understanding. It's defined in Christ, and we learned about the enemies of peace, relational conflict, our own hearts. And now, just quickly, and this is, we're going to enter into this territory a little bit more in the next few weeks, but we're going to briefly touch on these. He gives us these five conditions for peace. Rejoicing in the Lord always. I think you've heard me share this before. I have not been a joyful person by nature. Sometimes people don't know if I'm grumpy, angry. You know, my body language is not the best body language. I just, you know, it's the way, part of its personality. But joy did not come easy, you know, some of us here have had traumatic backgrounds in our past. It's not something that comes easy. But can you discover joy in the Lord? What do you think, Pastor Mike? Absolutely. Rejoicing in who you are? No. Rejoicing in this world? No. And rejoicing in some accomplishment? No. Rejoicing in the Lord. Strange words from the Apostle Paul, who is writing the book of Philippians from a Roman prison. It's part of the prison epistles. But what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord always? How do we cultivate it? I think we first have to acknowledge the lies and the idols of our own heart that carry us away from God's joy. Are you trying to find joy in this world apart from God? It doesn't work. Happiness defined like money, health, homes, weather, all these things can be taken away. They change. But God's love never changes. James tells us every good gift comes from above, today and forever. And he wants to extend to us a sense of joy in who he is, the God who's love, the God who's faithful, the God who's wise, the God who's full of knowledge, the God who's all-powerful, the God who's knows everything. And as I learn to take my joy in him, he then flows over to me and gives me joy in the Lord. And where is it to be learned? In him. Circumstances are going to be difficult, depending on the week, the month. Remember, God's destination for us is not to be comfortable. You say to yourself, I don't like that, Pastor Joe. I want to be comfortable. But God's destination for us, that in life's troubles, we discover through Jesus more about who God is, his peace, his goodness, his faithfulness, and as a result, joy and happiness increases in our lives. It's a good deal. It really is. We learn over time to rest in the one who's immovable. Immovable. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then he encourages us. This goes back to this relational dynamic, how we interrelate with others. It says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. This has the idea of gentleness and humility. That's to be practiced, by the way. One commentator describes this as a sweet reasonableness or a deliberate refusal to demand one's legal and personal rights. You know, don't we live in a culture where I want my rights? That's not fair. Well, welcome to life. Thirdly, we'll be talking about these in the next few weeks. Prayer and thanksgiving. We're commanded to be not anxious for anything. Well, it doesn't stop there. How are we to be not anxious? By meeting with God, by prayer and petitioning with thanksgiving. Now, I shared this story before, but maybe about 10 years ago, my wife gave me this Christmas present. It had this verse on it. It was a jar. And the idea was every day I was supposed to write something to be grateful for, thanksgiving, and put it inside the jar and put the cork back in. The idea is you fill the joy with, the fill the jar with good thoughts, right? And by the way, there's a great podcast I heard of someone who did this, who didn't even know the Lord, and he was much happier at the end of the process. So even from a psychological point of view, it's better. But anyway, we get through the whole year. My wife walks into the office because she didn't work, you know, she didn't do admin here at that. She looked at the jar. There were three little measly pieces of paper in it. Failure. I was so worried and upset all the time about the church. You see, it's to be practiced. It's to be practiced. Fourthly, meditating on the things of God. Meditating on the things of God. Verse 8, we get these incredibly challenging words, by the way. Think about it. Whatever is good, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think on these things. Now my mind, I'm learning to train my mind to stop worrying, being anxious, filled with thanksgiving, filled with prayer, and fixing my mind on good things. Easy? No, not at all. Possible? Yes. If God's outlined it, it's possible. And then this final thought as we go to the Lord's Supper, and I call the men forward for this. Find a mentor. Find a brother or sister in Christ who can help you along the way. Maybe you're in a situation where you say, Pastor Joe, I'm just not experiencing that much peace in my life. Well, that's on you. I have to say that. That's on you. God's given you the possibility now. And I do have to say we have 30 leaders in this church. 30 leaders, deacons, elders, ministry leaders. Imperfect people, yes. Every one of us has our own issues. Desiring to know Christ more deeply, yes. All of us are here for one another to help us. So Paul says, whatever you heard, learned, received, and seen in me, put into practice. In other words, this whole journey is to be done with others. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. The way God has designed things, he's designed it to be received in a community of God's people. Imperfectly, yes. You'll find plenty of faults and struggles in this church. But as long as we're longing and reaching for the God of the heavens and the earth to experience his joy and peace in our lives, it is possible for all of us to grow together. You know, a few weeks ago, I just discovered that one of my mentors passed away at 96 years old. Dr. Marvin Mayer was a theology professor at Moody Bible Institute. He's actually came and spoke here a few times. But over the years in my ministry, for almost 35 years, I would speak to this man regularly. When I was in India writing letters back and forth, and he gave me counsel and advice. Invaluable, invaluable to me along the way to have a person like that in my lives. Listen to what his obituary said. Dr. Mayer served the Lord faithfully. We need people like that in our lives, don't we? I encourage you, if you're by yourself, at least as we go to this table, begin with the Lord himself and ask God to give you the humility to reach out and find that person. Find that person to join with you in this journey. Tough journey, life. But it's meant to be experienced with joy and God's love.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.